Women in uniform around the world standing tall for our political and economic freedom. This holiday season, let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their efforts abroad and our support at home keep America strong. That's from Paul and his family and the professionals at Western Stone Company, serving our listening area with quality service, reliability, and integrity. Call 303-823-6404. That's 303-823-6404. They're on the air because they care about our troops.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, James Perloff. We're going to be talking about one of the chapters from his book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. About 25 years ago, James wrote a wonderful book, Shadows of Power, going into the background of the secret societies and organizations that really run the world. And we carry that book. It's still a classic, important. But, of course, James has certainly summarized all of the issues of what's going on today, whether it would be the cause of the Spanish-American War or the other senseless wars we've had. Incidentally, I will point out, it's only a matter of time before we're involved in another terrible war. There's only one thing worse than a war, and that's losing it, and I'm not certain God is going to be on our side in this coming war. After all, America is now a post-Christian nation. Didn't happen by accident, happened by intent when they took God and prayer, Ten Commandments out of our schools and began using the media to attack Christianity in every way they could and destroying the faith of so many good people in America. But that they've done that in Europe. That's how they were able to convert Europe, which was the foundation, the origin of Christianity, to the depraved society it is today. And they're doing the same thing here. Well, with that as a background, James, what are we going to be talking about this morning?
Well, today we're going to talk about the Vietnam War. And, of course, it was 50 years ago that the Tonkin Gulf incident occurred, which led to the escalation of that war. And I'm sure we'll be hearing about that more in the media and historical documentaries and so forth in the coming year. But it was part of the continuum, as you know, of the control of our world and the drive towards world government, towards socialism by the Illuminati, but really had its roots. A lot of people think that it really started in the 60s, but its roots, as you know, went back to World War II. The spread of communism, or actually even the origination of communism, had occurred with the oversight and financing of the Rothschilds and Kuhn-Loeb, of course, financing Lenin and Trotsky, and after the Russian Revolution, it had spread into Belarus and the Ukraine, and was spreading and spreading, and began to spread towards Asia. And after World War II, it was our own Council on Foreign Relations diplomats who oversaw and assisted the spreading of communism into China. And just to illustrate what I'm talking about, the meetings of the Big Three, Tehran and Yalta, where Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin gathered. You know, during World War II, we were fighting both the Germans and the Japanese in a two-front war, but Stalin was only fighting the Germans. He had a non-aggression pact with Japan, and at the Big Three conferences, President Roosevelt asked Stalin if he'd break his pact with Japan, and Stalin said, sure, I'll break my pact with Japan, provided the United States provide me with all the weapons and tanks and trucks and material my Far Eastern army would need to go into Asia. And so Roosevelt agreed to do that. And we sent 600 shiploads of Lend-Lease to Stalin to go into Asia. But when does he go into China to fight the Japanese? He waits until 5 days before Japan surrenders. They've already been hit by the atomic bomb. There's no need whatsoever for Stalin to be brought into the Far East. But after very limited fighting, His troops were able to accept the surrender of Japanese weapon depots in China, and of course they turned those weapons over along with their American lend-lease weapons to Mao Zedong for the overthrow of the Chinese government by the communists. And we also set up the Korean War. I'm sorry, Stan. I should probably pause here, or should I keep going?
Yeah, you go right ahead.
Okay. We set up the Korean War. People don't know this. There never would have been a Korean War without our diplomacy. In 1944, Foreign Affairs, which is the Journal of the Council on Foreign Relations, published an article called Korea in the Post-War World. And Korea until then had been a protectorate or colony of Japan. And Foreign Affairs proposed we divide Korea and place it under a trusteeship with the Soviets taking control of the North. This is the same as the way we divided Germany and Berlin into East and West and gave the Soviets the East. Well, Stalin was given control of North Korea basically as a reward for so-called helping win the war in the Pacific, when in fact the United States had done that. He came in 5 days before the war ended, and now we awarded him North Korea. And this never would have happened. There never would have been a Korean War with over a million people dying had we not done this. And this was, this is part of the whole continuum of a foreign policy that brought communism into Asia. But Vietnam also has its roots in World War II. Again, we go back to the Tehran Conference. At that conference, Joseph Stalin, dictator of the Soviet Union, said that he believed that after World War II, France should no longer have control of its colony, Indochina, which we more recently called Southeast Asia. And President Roosevelt said at that conference that he was, quote, 100% in agreement that France should no longer have control of Indochina after the war. So you know that France's days in Indochina were numbered when you have a joint Soviet-U.S. resolution that France should leave Indochina. And here's something a lot of people don't know. A lot of people know that Ho Chi Minh was our enemy during the Vietnam War, but what they don't know is that the United States supported Ho Chi Minh initially. In 1945, we sent the OSS, forerunner of the CIA, into Indochina, and our OSS men trained Ho Chi Minh's army, armed them, and gave them 20,000 cartridges, which they used to fight the French. Now, ostensibly, this was to help win the war against Japan, but in the summer of 1945, Japan was already beaten, so there's no need to train a communist army in North Vietnam. Well, so we gave him that launch, and he was glorified, by the way, in the U.S. press. Ho Chi Minh was called the George Washington of Cuba by Newsweek in the year 1946. So we carried on this war that we'd helped launch against the French, and the French, of course, as you know, their heroic troops were hemmed in at the Battle of Dien Bien Phu in 1954, and the Chinese had sent down artillery, and they were bombarding the fortress there. And the French begged the United States to intervene with an aircraft carrier strike, which could have taken out that artillery. Well, the U.S. Secretary of State, John Foster Dulles, was a founding member of the Council on Foreign Relations, trustee of the Rockefeller Foundation, in-law of the Rockefellers. He'd been at the Paris Peace Conference with Wilson. He helped draft the UN Charter. He dragged his feet, and finally we said, no, we're not going to help, and Dien Bien Phu fell, and France pulled out of Indochina, fulfilling that goal that Stalin and Roosevelt had promulgated at Tehran. And after the French pullout, our next actions were to turn Vietnam into chaos. We insisted that Vietnam's emperor, Vietnam always had emperors, their emperor Bao Dai was compelled to step down at the insistence of the U.S. We said Vietnam must have democracy. Well, you know, Bao Dai was the one.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, And be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Dr. Stan here. I guess this morning, James Perloff, we're talking about certainly the background of Vietnam. And basically, you can't understand anything going on, today, unless you understand what happened in the past. I mean, here in Kiev and the Ukraine, I mean, demonstrations, people being killed. Who is organizing those demonstrations? We are, just as we are organizing demonstrations in Venezuela. We bring the communists to power, and then, of course, we have demonstrations against them. Our intelligence agents are working all throughout the world, and today, as they have down through the ages. And, of course, everything is to destabilize the existing government, to bring to power. People go along with our idea of the one world government. That's what it's all about. That's what your foreign aid money is being used for, and that's how we were able to precipitate a war. Certainly in Vietnam, back certainly in the 1960s, 64 when it started. As James is pointing out, first of all, we had to get rid of the existing government. The people there were happy. They had this idea. They had an emperor. This is the way it has always been. Bao Dai was the emperor. So how are we going to destabilize Vietnam so we can have a war? And of course, the war was to be a great diversion. Our focus was to be on Vietnam while they brought in the Great Society here at home. That was the plan laid out in Foreign Affairs magazine, January in 1967, written by McGeorge Bundy, who said, you know, it would be an act of folly for any true liberal to say we have a choice between Vietnam and full budgetary support for our domestic programs, for exactly the opposite of the case. Those who believe in the great new departures and health, and education and welfare, who believe in the cause of equality, shouldn't strengthen the hand of their opposition by saying we got to get out of Vietnam for exactly the opposite of the case. The road forward at home is by persistence in Vietnam. And if we pull out of Vietnam, why, there'll be tremendous reaction against our program. And so we send our boys over to fight and bleed, suffer and die in a war. We never tried to win, fought it for 10 years. But it was a great diversion, as does so much of what's going on today, so we wouldn't see we were moving towards a fascist society here at home. Vietnam was a cover for the move to fascism in America. It worked magnificently because nobody told the American people. Go right ahead, James.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. And by the way, I apologize for overrunning into the break. The sound I'm getting on this end is a little bit faint, so I'll try to watch for those cues a little better. Just picking up that story, we're talking about the American role in destabilizing Vietnam. And by the way, if you go to my website, jamesperloff.com, and click on the blog, you'll see an article summarizing what we're talking about today about Vietnam. You'll see a photograph there, a photo of Ho Chi Minh with beaming American OSS officers in 1945, and included in that picture is General Giap, his military commander. But we asked Bao Dai, the emperor, to step down. He was the one man who all Vietnamese would have united around and would have made it very difficult for the communists. And I should just give you a quote from the emperor. He said this, quote, "If your country," meaning the USA, "if your country had given me 1/1000th of the sum they spent to depose me, I could have won that war." So he went, and president was installed for a rigged election. It was Ngo Dinh Diem, really the darling of the Council on Foreign Relations. When he came to this country in the 1950s, he was feted at a luncheon at the Tarrytown, New York estate of the Rockefellers. David Rockefeller and John D. Rockefeller Jr. hosted him, and all the bigwigs were there. The head of the Ford Foundation, Dean Rusk, who, of course, became Secretary of State during the Vietnam War, and John J. McCloy, head of the Chase Manhattan Bank and so forth. And the next day he addressed the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, Ngo Dinh Diem was actually hated by the South Vietnamese. He was a northerner. He was a Catholic in a basically Buddhist country. And he divided the country. And we attached to him an advisor, Colonel Edward Lansdale of the CIA, who was also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And Lansdale was instrumental in disarming three of the and anti-communist groups, which were indigenous in Vietnam. One was the Cao Dai sect, religious sect. Another was the Hoa Hao sect, and also the private army of Le Van Vien. Now, all of those were doing a very good job of demolishing the communists in their own zone. They were all disarmed by us, and that left a vacuum into which the communists swept. So at this point, before our entrance into the Vietnam War of our own, we'd already not only supported Ho Chi Minh, we destroyed his opponents at every level, the imperial level, the French level, and at the local level. Now, it was in 1961 that President Kennedy authorized sending the first combat troops to Vietnam, 10,000, and he did that on the advice of Walt Rostow of the Council on Foreign Relations, State Department. He'd just come back from a fact-finding mission to Vietnam. Now, he was called a hawk by the media, and people would say, well, if you want to send troops to Vietnam, he must have been a real right-winger. You know, back in those days, people were led to believe it was these Archie Bunker right-wing types, the hawks, who started the war. But look at the background of Walt Rostow. His father had been a Marxist revolutionary in Russia. Two of his aunts belonged to the U.S. Communist Party. His brother, Eugene Debs Rostow, was named after the Socialist Party leader, Eugene Debs. And back in the 50s, the Eisenhower State Department rejected Walt Rostow for employment three times as a security risk. And the only way the Kennedys could get him into the State Department was by firing the head of security of the State Department, Otto Otepka, which is described in the book, The Ordeal of Otto Otepka, by William J. Gill. So we're now in Vietnam, and maybe I should pause here, Stan. I keep talking for a long time.
You go right ahead. You're doing fine.
Okay. Let's bring it up to Tonkin Gulf. Tonkin Gulf, of course, the Tonkin Gulf incident, specifically the alleged attack of August the 4th, 1964, was the justification for the Tonkin Gulf resolution, which authorized President Lyndon Baines Johnson to escalate the war, which he did, sending hundreds of thousands of troops. But what many people don't know, I think many people do know at this point, that this was a false flag event. And in my new book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, I quote Admiral James Stockdale. He was recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor. He was a pilot in the Tonkin Gulf and was at that time called to the scene of the alleged attack on August 4th, 1964. And during 1.5 hours of overflight, he saw no Vietnamese boats. I'm just going to quote him from his book. Quote, this is when he returns to the aircraft carrier Ticonderoga. Quote, willing into the ready room, I'd heard they'd left 3 hours before. I came face to face with about 10 assorted ship's company, air group, and staff intelligence officers, all with sheepish grins on their faces. The mood was mirthful. Obviously, they had some big joke to tell me. What's been going on out there? They laughingly asked. Damned if I know, I said. Toya Flap, the guy in the Maddox, it's one of the destroyers, air control radio, was giving blow-by-blow accounts, turning left, turning right, torpedoes to the right of us, torpedoes to the left of us. I got right down there and shot at whatever they were shooting at. It came around towards the destroyers once, right on the deck, chasing some imaginary PT boat that said was running up behind them. Did you see any boats? Not a one. No boats, no boat wakes, no ricochets off boats, no boat gunfire, no torpedo wakes, nothing but Black Sea and American firepower. For goodness sakes, I must be going crazy. How could all that commotion been built up out there without something being behind it? Now, the next morning, Dr. Stan Stockdale was woken up by a young officer, and I'm again quoting from his book, who are you, I asked. I'm the junior officer of the deck, sir. Captain sent me down to wake you. We've got a message from Washington telling us to prepare to launch strikes against the beach, sir. What's the idea of the strikes? Reprisal, sir. Reprisal for what? For last night's attack on the destroyers, sir. I flipped on my bed lamp. The young officer left. I felt like I'd been doused with ice water. How do I get in touch with the president? We were about to launch a war under false pretenses. I felt it was a bad portent. We seemed to be under the control of a mindless Washington bureaucracy, vain enough to pick their own legitimacies regardless of evidence, unquote. Admiral James Stockdale, recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor. And, of course, Dr. Stan, you know all about that bureaucracy that he's talking about.
And what people don't understand, ladies and gentlemen, is they create these phony incidents. They do this all the time. They control the media. They control our reality. And it's only a matter of time before they plunge us into another war. Are you ready to send your sons and daughters to fight in another no-win war? Only this one may be even worse. We may actually lose the coming war. Under any circumstances, go ahead. Took us into Vietnam under totally phony pretenses. They kept us fighting there for 8 to 9 years. In a war we were never allowed to win. We could have won it in 6 weeks. I was personally told that by General Lew Walt, four-star Marine general, and by the ambassador to Laos at that time, William H. Sullivan. Both told me we could have won the war in 6 weeks. As Sullivan said, I never understood why we didn't win the war. All we had to do was attack North Vietnam. We could have won in 6 weeks, and we were never allowed to win it. And that's the story, ladies and gentlemen. All those people died, all the 58,000 American troops, but a million South Vietnamese and 2 million North Vietnamese died in a totally phony war. And if you don't think God's going to bring judgment one day on America, you're sadly mistaken. Go right ahead, James.
And I think that judgment will be amongst, specifically upon the people who planned this sort of thing. I should mention, you're absolutely right when you say that this was one of many false flags. You can go back, and this is covered in my book, The Truth is a Lonely Warrior. In the first chapter, we talk about false flags, the sinking of the Maine, the sinking of the Lusitania. You can bring it right up to these alleged chemical weapons attacks in Syria. They were claimed to have been made by Assad. We know that it was actually the rebels doing them. But bringing it back to Vietnam, the Tonkin Gulf Resolution was written before the incident even took place. Now, the man who drafted it was a brother of the man you referred to before. You were talking about McGeorge Bundy in his article in Foreign Affairs. The Tonkin Gulf Resolution was prematurely drafted by William P. Bundy, member of the CFR, member of Skull and Bones, and member of the Committee of 300, according to Dr. John Coleman. And Bundy, people said, oh, he's a hawk because he drafted the Tonkin Gulf Resolution. No, no, no. Back in the 50s, he was the head of the defense fund for Alger Hiss, the Soviet spy. And when he left the State Department, David Rockefeller appointed him head of the editor of Foreign Affairs, which is this nation's leading opponent of national sovereignty. It's the Journal of the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, following Tonkin Gulf, President Johnson was actually reluctant to escalate the war, but he did so at the urging of a secret clique of men. This public never knew this. He had a secret clique of senior advisors nicknamed the Wise Men. 12 of them were members of the CFR, and you can read about them in the book The Wise Men by Walter Isaacson and Ivan Thomas, who are themselves members of the Council on Foreign Relations. But here's something significant. The leader of the Wise Men, the man who was most vocal in demanding escalation, was Dean Acheson. And if you know anything about Dean Acheson, this should really come as a surprise. He was no hawk. Back before we even recognized the Soviet Union in 1933, Joseph Stalin picked Dean Acheson, young attorney, to represent Soviet interests in America. His law partner was Donald Hiss, brother of the Soviet spy, and Donald Hiss was a member of the U.S. Communist Party. You're talking about a guy who's got a background that just resonates with communism, and he was also, by the way, the father-in-law of William P. Bundy, who drafted the Tonkin Gulf Resolution. And so we've got a very small clique of men who are maneuvering this into Vietnam, and they were not, contrary to what the media said, right-wing reactionary types, quite the opposite. Now, you come up to 1968, and the Wise Men did a complete reversal. They'd been telling Johnson to keep escalating the war. He sent hundreds of thousands of troops. Finally, we're fully committed to this no-win war. And in 1968, they said, sorry, Vietnam is a mistake. They left him holding the bag. He was the one the public blamed for the war, which was extremely unpopular at that point. He was so grieved by this betrayal. This is the reason that President Johnson announced he would not run for re-election in 1968. Again, unknown to the public, but it came as a complete shock to the Democratic Party. Well, let's talk a little bit about why we didn't win this war. You were already begun to canvass that in your earlier discussion, Dr. Stan. In World War II, We won that war in 3.5 years, yet we're fighting on two fronts, Europe and the Pacific, against extremely tough opponents. The Germans and Japanese were very tough. They had huge air forces and navies and armies, and yet we defeated them in 3.5 years, and yet we spent 14 years, you take from 61 to 65, fighting Little North Vietnam, and we lost. So obviously something is wrong with the picture.
Amen. Now, it was a phony war, as all of these wars are. World War II was totally contrived. We were financing the Germans all during the war. And then, of course, we helped the Nazis escape after the war, and not 1 in 1,000 Americans. We'll be back in just a moment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Ladies, are you wanting a deeper connection between your relationship with God and your health? More control over managing your own health? To keep you and your family healthy naturally and economically? More vibrant energy for the things that are important to you? Join me, Master Herbalist and Nutritional Consultant Julie Formby, for a walk through the ancient scriptures on the third Wednesday of each month from 1 to 2 p.m. here on KHNC. Each show is based on my seminar series called Back to Biblical Health for Women. And together, we will explore a variety of health topics from a holistic and biblical perspective, all targeted specifically toward women and restoring your new vitality. As my free gift to you, I would like to offer a taste of what Back to Biblical Health for Women is all about. Download a free introductory copy of my ebook at www.yournewvitality.com/radio. That's www.yournewvitality.com/radio. And don't forget to join me on the third Wednesday of each month from 1 to 2 p.m.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Jensen Arms says, if you only have one life to live, why not get the most out of it? There's no need to make yourself sick, dependent, and useless. Yet so many do this to themselves each day by using drugs. Let's give life a chance. Drugs are never the answer. And this message is sponsored by Jensen Arms. They're working proudly with KHNC radio station to bring you this important message. That's Jensen Arms saying, keep your radio tuned right here.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan Karras, American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, James Perloff, his book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. James, how can people get in touch with you, get your website, and you can get the book either through James or through us, but how can people get in touch with you?
You can just go to my website, jamesperloff.com, and click on the contact and send me an email. And as far as getting the book goes, of course, that's carried by your ministry, Radio Liberty, and it's also available through bookstores and on Amazon. And they can also click the links on the book on the website, jamesperloff.com.
Why don't you pick up the story of Vietnam? Because now, of course, we have the Gulf of Tonkin incident. Now we have a justification for this no-win war. And it was the same thing as Second World War. We could have won it much earlier. That's why they, of course, they actually took the gasoline away from General Patton. He wanted to take his armored units and streak across Germany and take Berlin. They didn't want that, so they cut the gasoline off so he couldn't do it so we could prolong the war and kill a lot more American soldiers, just as we did in Vietnam, a 10-year no-win war. We could have won in 6 weeks, but we were never allowed to win it, and we eventually ended up losing the war. But it was never fought to actually defeat the communists, because we were financing the communists. We financed the Russians, who financed the North Vietnamese, who financed the Viet Cong, who killed our boys. After all, you got to have a war, you got to have an enemy, don't you? And that's the story of what's gone on in the past, and that's the story of what's going on today. As we finance the enemies overseas, as we move towards communism or socialism, call it what you will here at home. A government run by a small elite controls both political parties, makes mockery of the electoral process. As we move towards a government that regulates every aspect of our lives, that listens to all of our telephone conversations, that monitors all of our emails and all of our faxes in the name of protecting us from those people who want to take away our freedom, those terrible terrorists funded indeed by our own intelligence agents. Go right ahead, James.
Well, that's just a rugged summary of what's going on in our world and the whole agenda of this Illuminist structure that runs things from behind the scenes. But to get back to Vietnam, as you're saying, it was a no-win war, and exactly as you said, it was winnable. In March 1968, in the Science and Mechanics magazine, author Lloyd Maron interviewed about a dozen top retired, very high-ranking U.S. military officers, and each one of them, as separately, agreed that the Vietnam War could be won in weeks or months with restraints lifted. And let's talk about the restraints. The defense secretary at that time was Robert McNamara, of course, of the CFR. And he forbade the Air Force to strike more than 90% of the strategic targets it wanted to hit. And when he left the Defense Department, he was made president of the World Bank. Of course, McGeorge Bundy was made head of the Ford Foundation, as I said. William P. was made editor of Foreign Affairs. You see, kind of, they're kind of rewards these guys get after betrayal like this. Now, one of the things that prevented us from winning the war, which we had done with comparative ease in World War II, was the rules of engagement, and those were not classified until 1985, when they took up 26 pages of fine print in the Congressional Record. Now, according to the rules of engagement in Vietnam, there was a general order. American troops weren't supposed to shoot first. They were supposed to wait until they're fired upon. If an American pilot saw a MiG on the ground, he couldn't attack it. The plane had to be up in the air and showing hostile intent. If a surface-to-air missile launch site was under construction, he couldn't bomb it. It had to be fully operational first. We were bombing the Ho Chi Minh Trail periodically, but the rule was you couldn't bomb a truck more than 200 yards off the trail, and since they had radar that could detect our planes, they just pulled their trucks off the trail out of range, waited for the bombs to drop, and then proceeded. Now, we didn't fight World War II like that. We didn't fight with rules of engagement or with these trains. Of course, Ho Chi Minh had no rules. And so the world was thinking that we're fighting this little underdog and we're being the little guy is beating us. No, we didn't win because the communists were so determined. We won because of these restraints that were placed upon our military. And these officers that were interviewed by Lloyd Mellon said, what we need to do, just as you said, Dr. Stan, we need to declare war on North Vietnam, take the war directly against the North by invasion, bombing strategic targets decisively, blockade Haiphong Harbor, where North Vietnam was getting 90% of its war supplies. And also they said we shouldn't be bombing the Ho Chi Minh Trail, which, you know, historically bombing had not been that effective in war at stopping supply lines. What they needed to do was to block the trail by putting the U.S. Marines on the mountain passes that overlooked the trail. But, of course, their advice was ignored, and the war did drag on, not for weeks or months, but for 14 years, and ended in unnecessary defeat. But in the meantime, the media kept telling the American people that the war was unwinnable, and this was a complete lie.
Amen to that. And, of course, basically, of course, then we could divide the country. We could have all the people in favor of the war because they thought we were fighting communism. And I'll have to admit, during the early years of the war, I thought we were fighting communism, and I was an avid anti-communist, never understanding that we financed communism from its inception, a very convenient enemy, the best enemy American tax dollars could buy. But then, of course, you had the people on the other side who thought the war was foolish. And, of course, they were equated with communists, and most of them weren't communists. They were just logical people who said, what in heaven's name are we doing over in Vietnam fighting a war over there? And nobody really wanted to really look objectively and see how they were able to divide the people, getting to argue back and forth, never facing the real enemy, which was right here at home. So it was funding both sides of the battle and for stimulating all sorts of unrest here in America to justify ever more government control over our lives. And of course, it was during this year, we got Medicare and we got Medicaid, and we got so many of these wonderful socialist programs. And then, of course, a lot of them came in under Nixon as well. Everything is centralizing ever more power in government, power over our lives, as we move from a free society towards a regulated society. That's what it's always been about. A small group of people want to control your life, and today they do. Go right ahead, James.
Oh, you're absolutely right. They're funding both sides, and during the Vietnam War, this applied to the revolution here at home as well. You know, I was a hippie back then, and of course, we believed there was the Archie Bunker types that were behind the war. Well, unknown to the hippie types and unknown to the broad protesters, you know, it's out of that protest movement, by the way, that the subsequent counterculture really traces its roots. The whole, you know, the gay movement, the green movement, the feminist movement really kind of had its roots in that protest movement of the Vietnam War. But what they didn't know was that the establishment, which was supporting the war on one hand, was supporting the revolution on the other. I'm going to quote from a book called The Strawberry Statement, Notes of a College Revolutionary by James Koonin. And he was describing the 1968 Annual Convention of Students for a Democratic Society, SDS. Now, that was the spearhead of the whole anti-war movement. Here's the quote. At the convention, as the annual convention of the SDS, men from Business International roundtables, the meeting sponsored by Business International, tried to buy up a few radicals. These men are the world's leading industrialists, and they convened to decide how our lives are going to go. They're the left wing of the ruling class. They offered to finance our demonstrations in Chicago. We're also offered Esso Rockefeller money. They want us to make a lot of radical commotion so they can look more in the center as they move to the left. That's the end of the quote. But I'll give you one more quote from Jerry Kirk. He was a member of the SDS, former communist. He testified before the House and Senate internal security panels. Here's the quote. Quote, the radicals think they're fighting the forces of the super rich.
Hold the thought, James.
Yeah.
We're going to a break. We'll be back in a moment at the American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Avoid being bitten by the cold and flu bug by increasing your body's own defense system. Call me, Julie Formby, certified master herbalist, for a free 15-minute phone consult and save 20% off three powerful products that protect you against colds, flu, bacterial infections, viral outbreaks, and will drive down fevers. Your free new vitality consult and a 20% product discount is for a limited time. Call 970-203-9540. That's 970-203-9540.
Union Colony Insurance and Greedy takes the time to welcome our troops home. Remember when you see them to thank the men and women in our military service for their dedication, selflessness, and courage, and continue to pray for the safety of those still serving overseas. May God bless our troops and may God bless America. This message of appreciation from Union Colony Insurance at 1218 8th Avenue in Greeley. Call 352-9500 for all your insurance needs from A to Z. Union Colony. Hydro Resources Rocky Mountain reminds us that crystal meth is a problem that affects the entire family. It ruins lives, breaks hearts and homes, and destroys childhood dreams. Parents, make a resolution this year to talk to your kids about drug abuse. It may be the most important decision you make. And that important reminder is brought to you by John Tyler and the family and staff at Hydro Resources Rocky Mountain at 13027 County Road in Fort Lupton. For more information, call 303-857-4171. Hydro Resources, Rocky Mountain.
Well, Dr. Stan, our game guest this morning, James Perloff, his book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. And you need to get it. It's got 40 wonderful chapters. This is just one of them. We'll give you the background of the story. You're not getting it elsewhere. Our telephone number, if you'd like to order the book, 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. You need to get informed. And this gives you a wonderful overview of all the things that are going on in the world today. James has been at this battle for many years, has a great grasp of what's going on, and most of what you get from the media is controlled. You need to have the facts, and then you need to help us get the information out. And this is a wonderful book that gives you an overview of what's going on, and you get it by calling 800-544-8927. Truth is a Lonely Warrior, and you're never going to get it from the controlled media, because, of course, they control the mass media in America, and that's how they control the reality of the vast majority of the American people. Go right ahead, James.
We'll talk about the media control in just a moment, but just to continue that quote that I was starting to give, we quoted James Coonan, student radical, and I was just quoting Jerry Kirk, former SDS and communist. He said, quote, "The radicals think they're fighting the forces of the super rich like Rockefeller and Ford, and they don't realize it's precisely such forces which are behind their own revolution, financing it and using it for their own purposes," unquote. And I should mention, Dr. Stan, when the kids started burning the American flag in college campuses, you can be sure that brought a smile to some of the CFR members because, you know, destroying patriotism, it's a prerequisite to forming a world government. But let's talk about media control in the context of Vietnam. It's interesting. Vietnam is sort of a microcosm of a lot of things that have been going on in the world. I'd like to quote Congressman John Rarick, what he said in 1971. And this is he's talking about why the people couldn't find out the truth about Vietnam. He said, quote, "No one identifies the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR, a group of some 1,400, which includes as members almost every top-level decision and policymaker in the Vietnam War. CBS tells the people it wants them to know what's going on, who's to blame. Why doesn't CBS tell the American people about the CFR and let the people decide who to blame for the Vietnam fiasco? The planners and decision-makers of a closely-knit financial-industrial aristocracy or military leaders were forbidden by law to tell the American people their side. Who will tell the people the truth if those who control the right-to-know machinery also control the government?" So here he's laying it out. The same people who run the government have financial control of the media, and therefore the people don't find out the truth. That was true in Vietnam, and it's true today. And of course, you know about that, Dr. Stan, you know that there's just a few multinational corporations, you know, News Corp and Time Warner and so forth, that control our media today. They control the movie studios and the publishing houses and the radio networks. And so people get a uniform viewpoint and a false consensus about what reality is supposed to be.
And, of course, they control both the right and the left. They control the conservatives, the liberals, the Republicans, the Democrats. So you see all this controversy, but you never see the reality really discussed. Go right ahead, Jay.
Well, that can sort of wrap up our discussion of Vietnam, which I think we'll be hearing more about in the media this year with some of these anniversaries coming up. But let me just mention that a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with my book, The Shadows of Power, which you mentioned at the outset. And the new book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. You know, people, I've been giving PowerPoints and lectures for a long time, and people have kept asking me, when are you going to come out with an update to Shadows of Power? Well, this is it. Truth is a Lonely Warrior is the update, but it's much broader. The Shadows of Power dealt with the history of the Council on Foreign Relations and how it dominated the cabinets of president after president, whether they were, as you say, whether the Democratic or Republican administrations, the top, we know since the Council on Foreign Relations was founded in 1921, we've had 19 secretaries of defense, and that includes the old War Department, 16 CIA directors, 18 secretaries of state have come from this one small group. You know, back in the Vietnam War, they only had about 900 members during when Kennedy was president. So why should one small group be controlling the world? But this, the Council on Foreign Relations is actually just the American foreign policy branch of this whole satanic Illuminati hierarchy that has been controlling our world and driving it in the direction of world government. So I've tried to give people something comprehensive, because I know people talk about conspiracy, you get scoffed at as conspiracy theorists, and, you know, if you start to talk about 9-1-1 as a false flag, they'll say, well, why would our own government do that? You know, we elected these guys, you know, power belongs to the people in this country, so why would our own government do that? So you have to start talking about how there's a shadow government, and then they say, well, if there's a shadow government, why didn't CNN tell us about that? So you have to start talking about media control, and all of a sudden you're jumping all over the place and you don't look that credible. So this book, with a lot of documentation, tries to give people a comprehensive view of what's been taking place over the last century or two. And the first chapter is about the false flags, including Tonkin Gulf, starting with the sinking of the Maine, right up to the Iraq War with the weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist, even though Colin Powell said it did before the UN. And the second chapter is the forces that are behind these wars. It's about the powers that be, that establishment that preselects the presidential candidates of the major parties before the nominating conventions even take place, about the Council on Foreign Relations. And then we, chapter three, we follow the money, see who's behind the CFR. We look at the bankers and the Fed. And then we talk about how these guys have run foreign policy, whether it was the Marshall Plan or creating the UN. And we have a chapter on Vietnam, because it's such an important episode in our history. And then we talk about what they're doing today with these regional trading blocks like NAFTA, which have destroyed our jobs and our manufacturing, and how they're trying to drive America into a North American Union, following the pattern of Europe, going into a European Union. And these regional blocks are simply stepping stones to their ultimate goal of a world government. The next chapter is about the media, which we're just touching on, media control and why you don't hear about this. And then we continue with chapters that deal with how they've destroyed nations through immigration. It's designed to dilute national character, because when people don't feel loyal to each other or to our culture, they're easier to absorb into world government. And we'll also talk about how they changed the forms of government and other methods to destroy nations. Then chapter 9 is about communist revolution, the unholy alliance, which we touched on today, between communism and capitalism. Chapter 10, I call Satan's control structure. It talks about the intermediary organizations, the supranational organizations like the Bilderbergers Trilateral Commission, Committee of 300, which they coordinate international policy.
James, we're out of time. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Tri Property Management in Greeley reminds us, in the last year, 52% of students have hit, bullied, or taunted fellow classmates. These children believe it's okay to hit or threaten a person who angers them. Bullying is like torture to some kids. Let's stop the hatred. This message is from Tri Property Management in Greeley. For a full range of homes or apartments for rent, call 970-352-1025 or visit triplacestolive.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, I hope you enjoyed our talk with James Perloff this morning. His book is excellent. We carry it, and as you know, we don't carry many of the books we talk about because, well, we just have too large an inventory, but we think James' book is important, vitally important for you to read to understand the history of what's gone on in the past. Truth is a Lonely Warrior. You can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. All of the wars in the past have been phony, and the coming war is being contrived now. It's only a matter of time that we're going to have certainly a war in the Middle East. We're going to have another war eventually with the Russians and the Chinese. And, of course, that's why we're building up the Russians and the Chinese, doing everything we can to build up their economies. You have to have an enemy if you're going to have a war. And literally millions of people are going to die in this coming war. They've died in the past wars. 60 million people died in World War II as American corporations built the weapons for the Nazis. Certainly American banks funded the Nazis both before and during the war and after the war, where we have to help the Nazis escape to South America. 10 to 30,000. Nazi war criminals. We brought several thousand here, and we even helped Adolf Hitler to escape. And if you haven't read the book, Hunting Hitler, we carry it, or The Gray Wolf, we carry that, both books on how we helped Adolf Hitler escape. Now, how could that possibly be? Well, very simply, because the media is controlled, they've lied to us, and they're lying to you today. You've got to start thinking independently, and you've got to understand the enemy, and the best way to do that, read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. I'm just rereading it now after 10 years, and it really has got some awfully good things in it that will help you better to understand what's really going on today. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then if you'd like to get involved in this spiritual battle for the souls of men that's being fought today, and do everything we can to at least delay the destruction of this society, and I believe God would intervene if this was a moral society, put off at least temporarily the terrible things that are planned. Why, of course, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You can do one of two things. You can decide to do nothing and just simply let things follow their course. Or you can join us in this epic struggle for the souls of men to bring as many people as we can into the kingdom of God by an understanding that there really are satanic forces in the world, that the story of the Bible is accurate, that all of these things are prophesied, and these terrible wars that are coming were prophesied literally thousands of years ago. Well, again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com, where you can watch our DVDs, listen to our radio programs, read our newsletters, see our treatise on the Georgia Guidestones, where the plan is laid out to eliminate over 90% of the population of this country, over 90% of the population of America and of the world, where they talk about limiting the world population to 500 million, an edifice there organized and put up by a secret society. And nobody wants to tell you about the Georgia Guidestones, but you can go to Elberton, Georgia, and see them as I have on several occasions. And they were put up by a secret society. Why do you think there's a conspiracy? I know I don't think there's a conspiracy. I know there's a conspiracy. I've been engaged with it and fighting it for 50 years, and I hope you'll join us in this epic struggle. Dr. Stan, it's just power at the same time. Please pray for America, but pray for my ministry.